from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
8 o'clock hour on a Friday as the 2024 Firehouse Tour continues from Saxy. Thanks for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, in case you did not know. 5805 Bryan Street, as we are serving you breakfast, brought to you by Palmer's Hot Chicken and Shrimp. We got donuts out here. We got the coffee as well. And now we have concert tickets to hook you up with as well, as Jack FM is going to be putting, I think, oh, Ruben and Bobby are still getting the fist pumping on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And we have concert tickets for Jack FM's Jubilee featuring Stone Temple Pilots live and Soul Asylum. Ooh. Soul Asylum, back from my day.
Were you a big Soul Asylum guy?
They had that song, that really big song.
How does it go? You typically don't know the lyrics. You just know, I don't know any Soul Asylum stuff.
It's one of two songs that I want to say in my mind, but I don't want to say the wrong one.
You're going to go,
we're halfway there. No, it's a Runaway Train. Runaway train, never going back. I don't know the lyrics, but like you say, runaway on a one-way track. Peyton, you know Soul Asylum, Runaway Train?
No, I was just going with your word, Sean.
Okay,
I have no
you're
idea.
Just trusting me.
I was going to say.
It's a great song.
What are you doing? Give it, like, you think he actually knows. Throw it to Peyton for anything that's pop culture.
Shout out to the Tolos, Philip and Saxy, stopping by. And I felt real bad because Trisha from Wiley and a law firm, she came by with the freshly baked cookies.
Aww.
And she's like, do you have a flask? And I was like, we ran out of the flasks. We're going to have a talk with management about giving us twice as many coming out here to these things. But I think we got an oatmeal peanut butter combination. Ooh. And she brought us out. But Trisha, I got you. Whenever we get the second shipment of fan flasks in, they were pretty sweet.
They went, yeah, and they were very popular. People were snatching them up. But yeah, that should I think that'll probably make a repeat appearance, I would imagine.
The flasks?
Yeah, I would guess so, with how popular
they're
were.
Sweet looking. All right, so you're getting ready for two types of football. The NFL and college. Choppy's not here, but we can still pop the keg.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Well, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Yep, that's right. We have college football week zero on the docket. And week zero, I never know totally how to approach week zero. Because I mean,
why are we calling it week zero?
Because it's not a full-fledged launch for everybody, and it's a lot of weak games typically. Last year, I think it was USC was taking on like San Jose State or something. And this year, even though there's a couple of top 25 teams that are playing in week zero, there's no like real big marquee matchup between two teams that have a lot of prestige.
The Florida State game is in Ireland.
Florida State is going to be in Dublin, and Florida State is a 10-point favorite over Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech has been considered by a lot of people to be a team that could kind of wreck shop this year in terms of be one of the true teams that'll play spoiler along the way, because they've got just a number of games in their schedule where they could make things difficult. They've got Notre Dame, Miami, Georgia, Florida State. They've got all these different teams in their lineup across their schedule where they could potentially cause a problem if they pop in one of these games. And Georgia State or Georgia Tech has started, you know, kind of turning things around a little bit and is a little bit on the come up. Florida State's in an interesting position, obviously, after they lost so many people at the end of the year last year. That's what led to the whole controversy that left Paul Feinbaum at odds with the Florida State fans. But the big acquisition there this year for Florida State, which has a ton of NFL talent up and down the roster, is the quarterback, and that's DJ Uiagalelei, who was at one time the christened one. He was the next guy at Clemson. So Clemson had gone on just a ridiculous run where they had Taj Boyd, who was really good at Clemson. Then they had NFL talent in Deshaun Watson. They go from Deshaun Watson into Trevor Lawrence, and DJ Uiagalelei was supposed to be the next guy after that, and it was just supposed to be an easy transition. And then into Klubnik, it was supposed to be that kind of a you know, ease of quarterback dynasty, essentially, that Clemson had built. DJ never figured it out at Clemson. He was one of the worst college quarterbacks I've seen at a big-time program who played at Clemson. He transferred to Oregon State last year, played there, had some success, still was not what he had once been hyped to be, but he was somebody who did enough to where now you've got people believing that he's going to be able to step in and contribute in a big way for Florida State, although not everybody. So there's a report from Sports Illustrated that an anonymous ACC coach, as these kinds of takes tend to be anonymous, is skeptical that DJ Uiagalelei is going to even be able to improve at Florida State and be any better. Says that, no, we've seen what this guy is. He's ultimately the same player that was at Oregon State. It was just a different kind of game than the one he was playing at Clemson. It's not going to be any better returning to the ACC now.
Pat Mahomes is basically sponsoring everything now football-related in Lubbock. Dedicated $5 million towards the $242 million South End Zone and the Football Center Project as well. So Texas Tech is naming, guns up, Peyton, naming their soon-to-be-completed walkthrough area in the Football Center in Mahomes' name. He's also going to be recognized for the Texas Tech quarterback meeting room and the offensive coordinator's office in the new South End Zone building. So Pat Mahomes buying up all the sponsorships and he remains a big-time Texas Tech fan representing.
Yeah, and that's something where Mahomes has made his footprint known as a guy who supports everywhere where he's been in terms of he is still a big DFW, North Texas type of guy, even though he was in, you know, Tyler Longview area.
Do you feel bad as a football scout questioning yourself that you didn't see more of what Mahomes is when he was right here in our backyard playing?
No, I mean, Mahomes was a guy who it was all there on tape in terms of, like, the incredible Mahomes freak plays that we've seen before were there. The biggest problem with Mahomes is what he was asked to do at Tech, where you just didn't know, and there were too many questions about is he not capable of doing these sort of things and making these reads and functioning in an NFL offense, or is it just he wasn't asked to do it in the type of offense that Tech runs? And so that was the only thing that you weren't certain of. His decision making got a lot better coming out of college. That was something that I probably missed. I mean, I still thought he was a first round quarterback, but you didn't think generational type of player when he was coming out. You thought that guy could be a boom or bust type of player, and he clearly boomed. I did feel confident that Trubisky was a more solid option.
And Trubisky?
Because Trubisky was that same draft. Trubisky went third. And so I did feel like, all right, well, Trubisky will be the guy who ultimately I think is exactly what you want and is going to be stable. And that's why people are still terrified of the one-year starter in college football. Trubisky's part of that.
Is Ryan Leaf angry again? Ryan Leaf has gone through ups and downs. We've gone through ups and downs of Ryan Leaf at the radio station. I remember him sitting in studio, and then a short time after, he got arrested for, like, breaking the houses, stealing people's prescription medicine. And then we're at the Super Bowl. We have these awesome, very sincere sit-downs. And then he's kind of going off on different people, putting them on blast. I know he's on your airwaves with the NFL Network. And yesterday, a headline came out from Bro Bible. Ryan Leaf rips Pat McAfee and Kirk Herbstreit, calling them overly sensitive and narcissists. And I didn't even remember that Ryan Leaf was like part of College Game Day.
I didn't remember that either. I know that feels a little pot kettle situation, calling them overly sensitive, because Ryan Leaf, for all of his development and his growth as a person, has still historically been somebody who's pretty sensitive to criticism and the things that people say about him.
He got mad at Lee Corso, and because Corso said Washington State, Leaf's school in Oregon State, was the No One Wants Us Bowl. And, yeah, like, Leaf got all worked up, and Herbstreit was like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, you're taking this the wrong way. Well, then the College Game Day producer, who Leaf said told me I was number one on the set. So that's delusional sign, a delusional giveaway. The producer's like, yeah, we gotta take you off the air. And he's like, well, have whoever made this decision call me. Let's talk about it. And it's like, someone above my pay grade. So this is Ryan Leaf thinking it was McAfee and Herbstreit saying, quote, they're the most overly sensitive people I've ever met for guys who live in this high platform. They get criticized all the time, but boy, God, are they overly sensitive narcissists.
I will say, as much as I think that's a pot kettle, I think it's right that McAfee gets pretty sensitive at times with criticism. We've seen it. I've never known Herbstreit to be that guy.
Like Herbstreit to me has been Mr. Buttoned Up, not going to step in anything.
No waves. He doesn't make waves.
No waves. But now it sounds like he's waiting to unleash. He's like, I'm gonna talk about transgender athletes, and I'm tired of being quiet, and I'm going to tweet what I want to say and say what I want to say.
Yeah, which, I mean, that was something where when he had interviewed with Dan Dockich, who you were the Grim Sharifer. We had him on the airwaves, and I think the next day he was fired in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I got Ryan Leaf locked up and Dan Dockich fired.
Dan Dockich was he told Dan Dockich after he had weighed in on the transgender athlete controversy that he had said specifically, like, I've kept a lot of my beliefs quiet because I followed what Lee Corso says, which, don't talk about politics, don't talk about social issues. That's nobody's interested in wanting to hear you talk about those things. And he said, the closer I get to the end, the more I'm saying, you're going to hear from me a lot more when I'm done, and kind of giving a preview. So I could see he acknowledged in that interview with Dockich, he said, I have a massive temper, and it causes me to flip out from time to time. So maybe behind the scenes, Leaf has dealt with that temper and feels like he's just overly sensitive. Because we know McAfee will send his hornet's nest on people who criticize him.
I had no idea. I saved this story from the other day. Maybe embarrassing. I don't care. We talk sports and college football enough. I would have think I would have heard this by now. I did not know that colleges had football general managers.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
general manager?
Yeah, they'll be general managers or like...
Because the Alabama football general manager just got a contract for $825K a year for 3 years.
Yeah, and not every program has them. A lot of times, everybody generally has somebody like that. They don't all have the same title. General manager is just a title that some teams choose to use. Or sometimes it can just be director of football or like just different things that are in there. But yeah, that's USC had been trying to poach him, and he's an up and coming star with folks in the college football world. And so he's somebody who they were, you know, with Kalen DeBoer being there and them trying to transition everything as smoothly as they can from Saban to DeBoer, which has gone really well to this point. It's something where they're lucky that they weren't able to snatch him away.
What else you got for the Kegger?
We've got a couple more games that I think you need to pay attention to this week. SMU is going to be on CBS Sports Network at 7 o'clock on Saturday, going up against Nevada, which obviously SMU, the team that has been described as the sleeping giant by RJ Choppy for the type of money they have backing them. And then, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, Sean, because at 2:30, 3 o'clock, we've got the Cowboys game, which I'm going to have to be locked in on, but I'm going to have my laptop up, and I'm going to have to be streaming over on ESPN some Tarleton State football.
Oh!
The Tarleton State Texans take on McNeese State. You can watch that on ESPN tomorrow at 2:30. I think some double box action.
You've been accepted to the football program like basketball?
I've been accepted just in general, because that's my home, right? Like, I mean, I went, I hung out at the basketball games. Sadie Beck, the star pitcher at Keller Softball, just committed to Tarleton. This is going to be her first year there as a true freshman for Tarleton. And so, yeah, that's my program. There's an announcement on the horizon about myself and RJ Choppy that I don't know if we can make yet related to Tarleton. But, you know, stay tuned. We're going to be close to that football program this year.
College football kegger with it kind of week zero, kind of getting it started tomorrow, and everyone needs to be handing in their slips and permission slips to the wife and the family that you are about to be gone. You're about to be checked out. I got my DirecTV Red Zone package the other day. Went and signed up for it early versus 11:54 when I'm scrambling on the computer trying to make sure it goes through on that opening Sunday.
I get two Saturdays. I get really two Saturdays where I can sit there and watch all of college football, because once Sunday starts and I'm traveling on Saturdays to road games or doing different things, Kristen's like, no, you're not taking the entire weekend to not be around. And so I get two Saturdays to be in front of the TV.
Is Jacob DeGrom back? And maybe our favorite pitcher at the station has a documentary coming out this week, and you may be interested in that. In addition to college football, the Rangers are back in action, and what to watch for in the Cowboys' final preseason game tomorrow, all coming up with Sean and Bobby live from Saxy on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Shout out time, as we still got the awesome breeze and wind here in Saxy at the Firehouse located on Bryan Street. Stop out for another hour and a half as we got the breakfast, we got the giveaways, we got concert tickets, and the fan flasks flew out of here very fast. And breakfast from Palmer's Hot Chicken and Shrimp. I'm Sean Treif alongside Bobby Roberto Bell. Choppy will be back on Monday, and we got to throw out some shout-outs.
Yes, shout-out to Coach Casey over at Saxey High School. He is one of the coaches there. I believe he said track is what he is. But he looked like
he could be a track guy.
I'm very flattered that he brought these size shirts and thought they would fit us. Because that means that
as we have our fried chicken balls and homemade cookies sitting to the left and right.
Yeah,
of us.
and he made sure when he walked up, he was like, yeah, maybe your wives could wear these.
Yeah,
but if you'll notice, he pointed this out to me. I didn't realize. You see the shirts they've developed here, Sean. That's the Van Halen logo. Like it's a nod to it.
That's badass.
It's really cool. So thank you to the folks over there at Saxy. I know we had Jason and LaVon who just showed up here. Said,
where's LaVon?
It's just down the road from over here.
Okay.
And then he said he used to live in Saxey and then just came over there. And then you had the brothers.
I got here. David in Midlothian. Casey brought the shirts. Bill brought us Starbucks.
Yes, Bill from Starbucks.
So we got the iced coffee from Bill. Thank you for that. And then the twins, Diamante and Devontae from Allen.
And their buddy wanted to be here today. He couldn't. Harold was not able to make today because he's having his baby. So congratulations to Harold on the birth of his first child.
Below the belt previews, Cowboys, Chargers, who is on the final cutting block. That is at 8:40 here on your home of the Rangers. And Nick Eatman will join us at 9:20 from DallasCowboys.com. What time's your pregame get underway tomorrow?
Noon, I believe, is the pregame. I think I'm on in the. I don't think I've seen Tim's email yet. I would imagine I'm on around 12:30.
We don't care. We just want to know the start of the pregame.
Hey, you saw the YouTube numbers yesterday at 8:40. You know it.
Your words are running together real fast today.
I know they are.
You're not. There's no comma. There's no dot. There's no punctuation.
I know.
They're just all one long run-on sentence. Why is that?
I didn't.
Are you nervous out here in front of the people?
I didn't take my stuff this morning. There was that. But I also, it's you mentioning it's all one long run-on sentence. That's how they first prescribed me Adderall. My doctor said when she was talking to me, she said, hearing you talk to me about your symptoms and the things you're going through, she's like, you have not completed a single thought before you've started another. It's been one wrong, like long stream of consciousness. And she's like, I think we should put you on Adderall. And I was like, okay. So I just took some back in the car a little bit ago because I was clearly running way too fast.
Did you sneak off to the parking lot?
Did you not see at 7:55? I said, where's the water? I said, I got to go out to my car real quick because I could feel it. I could feel I needed to
balance. It's just amazing.
Myself.
It's amazing the opposite effect because your leg is shaking a million miles an hour. And I would think, and you're talking so fast, I would think that's after taking it. But no, it's the total opposite effect. It brings you down and calms you.
Because you really noticed it in Oxnard. Because the last.
I will sell drugs. I'll go to Miami. I'll do anything. I will never allow you to go to Oxnard without that again.
Yeah.
Ever. I'll do whatever. I'll serve time. I don't care. Whatever I have to do to secure that, I'm doing it.
Because Thursday, when I did, I found I had one and I took it, then you were like, why are you better today? You're a lot more, like, put together. You're not jumping in on it. And I said, I took Adderall. And you went, oh, that's, and we realized pretty quickly that a lot of my issues out there in Oxnard, I think, were related to I failed to get my script before I left.
My guy back here sitting on the fan van, he's just laughing. He's shaking his head at old Roberto.
You know what I'm talking about.
All right.
Those amphetamine salts, bro.
All right. The
That's what they're called. That's what they're called on the prescription bottle.
All right. Jacob DeGrom. My three reasons to pay attention to the Rangers the rest of the way. Rocker, lighter, DeGrom. And Jacob DeGrom back making a minor league start. First rehab, 2 innings, 2 hits, 1 earn, no walks, 3 strikeouts, fastball touching 99 to 100.
He's at the very top of the list of things you're still interested in with this season, right? He would have to be number one. Or would Leiter and Rocker coming up be
DeGrom
more interest?
DeGrom, now Sandler is getting me hyped that I should be paying attention to Rocker too, maybe over Leiter.
Yeah, Rocker has been flat out dominant. I mean, every week now we're seeing, you keep waiting for it to kind of come back down to earth. It's not yet. It sounds like what Jared was saying, and I know what Evan Grant had written the other day. Evan Grant had said, I'd be stunned if he made another start at Frisco. Like, he's going to Round Rock because he's not being challenged there. And so Kumar Rocker's an exciting part of this. But Jacob DeGrom is the rehab start. I saw him out there signing autographs for fans in Frisco, like walking into the stadium yesterday, and He looked sharp in that Rough Riders uniform, but he looked good. It was encouraging when you see there's still that velocity that's on it. It doesn't look like he's having to work that back at all. There's still the bite on the slider. It looked really encouraging from the clips that we saw yesterday.
Kevin Hagelin, listen up. I know Corey Majors is our real Tolo dedicated KMC host, but hey, this is for you. With Greg Maddux, we're getting Greg Maddux Michael Jordan-esque stories once a week now.
Yes, dude, this is...
And he was my favorite all-time pitcher.
This is super exciting, every clip we've seen from this. Andrew Schultz, who's one of my favorite comedians, he does the Flagrant 2 podcast, he had tweeted the Bonds clip we talked about last week of Maddux and Bonds talking about the chess match, and he quote-tweeted it, and he said, I don't even like baseball, and this is super interesting. I saw this clip yesterday from Schultz tweeting it again, and he said, okay, it's not that baseball's not interesting. It's whatever Greg Maddux talks about it, it's super interesting. Okay, like, this guy's just like awesome. And so this was a really cool clip from a documentary that's set to air this Sunday, which I've got it scheduled in the DVR now because who knows how many more things are in there we're going to want to play next week. But it's a clip of Eddie Perez, the old Braves catcher, talking about a matchup they had against the Astros during, I believe it was the 98 season. But a matchup they had against the Astros, and the way that Maddux decided to approach Bagwell in the at-bat.
We were regular season, and we were winning like 8-0. It was easy game in the eighth inning. And he told me, don't throw anything inside on Bagwell. Call everything outside. And I said, okay. I think it was somebody odd. And he wants to go inside. And I go, okay. You know, it's your game. So I went inside, called inside, and Bagwell hit like a 1,000-mile.
Long, oh boy, Bagwell way back.
And I was mad, and I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, they got a good team. We got a good team. We're going to play them in the playoff. He's going to wait for that pitch. 3 months later, we're in the playoff, bases loaded in the seventh. We threw three straight changes and struck him out. And I was walking to the dugout. He goes, hey. And I look at him. He said, you remember? 3 months ago, 2 months ago? And I said, no, I don't. He was looking for that pitch, the homer that he hit. And I was like, this guy. It's how smart he was.
The professor. How many guys, that's what I wish I could ask Bassick right now, maybe in crosstalk. How many guys would give up their regular season numbers, would give up a home run to set up a future encounter? Love it.
It's one of those where, and I say it all the time, but like when you talk to guys who played in the major leagues, you realize, like, I don't understand a damn bit about the game of baseball. Like, yeah. I mean, you think you do.
Yes.
And then you hear the way they look at it and the way they approach it and the way they're all in on this.
Yep.
They all understand it. And I mean, Bonds and Maddux, they get exactly what each other are doing and what they're looking for. And it reminds me of the little stuff like the game within the game that a lot of people don't see. I'll take it from the NFL perspective, just because I know the NFL better.
No,
and know
well.
No, I'm just saying. I know. I've had people tell me these sort of things more frequently.
Oh, that you know it better. That you're just
no,
genius.
No, I watch the game different than you, like Brian. You'll have somebody who, if you feel like you're moving the ball really well against a team, for instance, and a coach may have a sense of, oh, we're going to run these guys into the ground today. I already know it. First inning, we've got it. Or first quarter, we got them. That you might start on first and 10 running, like, let's run the ball on first and 10. Or let's start doing some things. It's like, why are you willing to three and out punt it? And what you're doing is we're screwing with the analytics numbers. Like, and when a team is researching us later, they're going to see trends that we do things on first down that we have no intention of doing that we feel like we can. We can sacrifice it in a game where we're up 7 in the first quarter because we're able to do that right now because we know we're going to beat them. We can sacrifice a possession knowing we'll get it back, knowing that we got a handle on these guys. And so that sort of game within the game chess match that exists in really, I feel like, every sport is always fascinating. And Maddux definitely seems to be one of these guys that will remind you don't know this game the way you think you do.
We can only talk about it because RJ Choppy's not here with his Greg Maddux hate, and we can only talk about aging, maybe RJ's number one fear in life, because he is not here living it up in Michigan.
Yeah, RJ Choppy, it turns out, is officially perimenopausal, as it turns out, according to research. So Chop is currently living in the first of two checkpoints in life where research is now showing you age at a rapid pace. So according to research, they have found, scientists were doing this study, this was over in The Guardian last week, scientists in the U.S. were doing studies trying to figure out the aging process, where the most dramatic changes occur, how things happen, and they found two ages, Sean. 60 years old is a rapid time of decline where it's you get wrinkles and all sorts of other things with your body starts to age. But then it's 44. And 44 was an age they were not expecting to see.
Ugh.
And RJ Choppy is 44 right now. So when they first got the raw data back and they looked and saw, whoa, this is a spike that we don't see in terms of molecular changes that occur across the board, they were like, well, this is women. This is women going into menopause are skewing this data. So they went in and they dove and they looked at it and went, oh, no, Like, men at 44 go through the same, like, scope of molecular changes, the number of molecular changes that women go through at the age of 44. So they say that when women are going through menopause around that age, men are essentially going through their version of it. They just don't have those same issues with the reproductive stuff. And so they say men age rapidly at the age of 44, which, Sean, you are how old?
42.
So you got 2 years left before your life is essentially over. Have you felt like the kids so far have accelerated any aging for you, or have they kept you young? People, I feel like, split their argument of how
accelerated
that
accelerated it. We're old parents. The aches, the pains, getting up. There's a bed on my floor every Sunday. There's a mattress. My wife bought a special mattress so we don't have to get up and down. And it's family day on the floor of my living room. We used to get the guest bedroom mattress out. It was too much of a pain and hassle, so she bought one. She bought a fold-out mattress, but we had kids too old.
I'm not letting you blow by that. That is adorable. You have family day on a mattress on the floor all day.
I mean, is it adorable or lazy as
no,
hell?
No, that's adorable. This is
look
the
at Eric.
Look at
Eric.
Yeah. That's adorable, right, Eric? Yeah, that is so sweet.
I have like a once every Sunday photo of like the four of us just sprawled out.
Dude, yep, this is the That's daughter. This is the daughter changes.
It's really lazy.
However you want to try and twist it, go yes. right ahead.
No, the aches and the pains, man. And then waking up overnight and everything. But RJ, he believes all these medical studies. So yeah. This could get in his head. This could get in his head because we all know that RJ tries to act like he's 24 and 34, but now 44, downhill.
Let's see. We talked about earlier in the show how little he replies to things. I'm going to send him a screenshot.
He's been replying lately. He must not be mad at us anymore.
Oh, yeah. He's gotten over us making fun of his little his and hers dresses he was wearing or whatever. I'm going to take a screenshot of my prep, explain the story, and text it to him. We'll see if he replies.
What to watch for in the Cowboys' final preseason game tomorrow. That's next in Below the Belt on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
For the first time since a devastating, embarrassing, whatever other descriptor you want to put on it, loss to the Green Bay Packers back in January, the Dallas Cowboys will take the field at AT&T Stadium tomorrow. And they'll do it against Jim Harbaugh. Maybe Jim Harbaugh can get in the ear of Mozzie Smith and Luke Schoonmaker a little bit and be like, hey, you're reflecting poorly on me. How about you guys fix this? Because this is making us look pretty bad. They do get the Chargers tomorrow. And what we're not sure of still to this point is the availability of Tyler Guyton, which would be way up the list for me of guys that I want to see perform in this game and be ready in this game, because he's going to need this work more than just about anybody. As we've talked about already, he is, to me, Mozzie Smith, the defensive version of Trey Lance right now. Like, I got to see it. I got to start seeing you
perform.
You
need to see it from Mozzie, not Guyton.
No, not Guyton. But Guyton and Mozzie are the two that I want to see the most. Guyton being the guy who his availability is in question. But outside of Guyton, Mozzie and Guyton are right there as the two guys that I want to see the most perform in this game. Guyton is unavailable at the moment as they still work through the knee soreness, trying to figure out which way it's going. I think it's trending towards not playing, because I don't think the Cowboys, as much as they would like to get him some live game reps, want to put anything in jeopardy in terms of his availability for week one, given the depth issues that they have. I think we're looking at there's going to be another trade before week one where they acquire some sort of an offensive lineman, because they have way too many guards and not enough tackles. So does that look like a swap of a draft pick for a tackle? Does it look like you take some of these interior offensive linemen, which you have just a gluttony of? Do you take one of those and try to move it to somebody who's got better tackle depth but is looking for something on the interior? They could approach it a couple different ways. They could wait for cut down day. The problem that I think you're seeing right now is nobody cuts NFL offensive lineman.
Yeah.
You're not releasing an NFL offensive lineman at the end of the month. You are what you're going to do is you will
it's
try
like
to
getting rid of pitching.
It is considered the thinnest position in the NFL by most talent evaluators. They don't believe. I was talking to a scout one time who said that in the NFL, offensive line is the one position in the entire league where they have more spots available within the NFL than they do people talented enough to fill them. Like, that they feel like they have maybe 80% of what they need in terms of the actual available spots when you consider the depth that you have to have behind. Most teams struggle to go five deep. But if you go five deep, then after that, you're talking about even a smaller handful that are able to go seven or eight. And so the Cowboys have had some of that depth tested, specifically at tackle. So Tyler Guyton, I'd be surprised right now if they did play, or if he did play, but still something where if the knee soreness is not as big of a deal, if they want to really send that message, then they would go ahead and let him play. Mozzie Smith on the other side, again, another big part of that. Those two guys in the trenches. What are the biggest things that you need to see specifically or that you want to see in this game? Are you just looking for health?
Health.
Or are there guys you want answers on?
Health. I mean, receiver. You know, I think that is receiver the position that can fool you the most from training camp practices?
Yes.
Yeah. Because they have one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. Right. And I also am curious over this question, like, how many players really elevate their stock? Not because of really just how good they are, but now they know what everyone in practice is doing in the fourth week. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I may not be as, this is just a theory of mine, I may not be as good of a corner, but I know that you're going to run, I know the offense is going to run one of these two routes.
Sure.
I'm more familiar with the program or the script than me elevating my game or being that good. It's the familiarity that is allowing me to keep the plays, but if I'm thrown out there against someone new, someone random, that's just a theory that I've had of a camp that's like this long.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a bad one.
I don't think it's idiotic. It's not the dumbest thing I've heard.
You know what I'm saying? You're saying it's just a theory. I'm saying I think there's credence to that. Yeah. I've never asked that specific question to anybody before, but it would make sense to me.
Like, how many guys are just shining because, okay, like, they know what Jalen Cropper is going to do on this route because he's seen him every single day.
Sure, and I think that's why it's also...
Whereas in a game, I'm putting you out there against someone brand new.
Which is exactly what I was about to say. That's why somebody like Keeman Hall probably stands out to them, is that Keeman Hall does stuff in practice that then when they get into a game setting, it's, oh, here it is. And that's why when you get out of it, they want to see, all right, show me you can practice consistently. Show me you can make big plays here. That's huge. That is a big part of this. We like seeing that. But if you are a practice warrior, if you are showing up in practice and not carrying it into these preseason games, I have issues and I have concerns about what you're able to do when you're outside of that structured setting. And so when you see that sort of transition, it definitely creates problems. You're 100% right that receivers have the biggest benefit of anybody in training camp to look good. Because when they get a one-on-one, let's say they're standing back at the 40-yard line, and you've got, including the end zone, 50 yards worth of turf in front of you. And you're lining up maybe inside the number, not all the way inside of the slot, but you're lining up inside of the number. That corner is standing there against a receiver with no information. I don't see a formation. I can't tell what kind of a play they want to run by the formation. We don't have a defense back here, an alignment that we're trying to disguise things or maybe tricking the quarterback into giving certain reads. I have no down or distance to be able to read what kind of throws they would have here. No safety help. And he has the entire width and length of the field, essentially, to run around and do whatever he wants on an untimed down until the ball is thrown. And so because of that, the corner is working at a massive disadvantage, which is why whenever you see, oh, look at Trayvon Diggs get cooked out here. To me, it stands out when they make a play. When a corner makes a play in that situation, I'm more just like floored at, wow, you were able to hang with that guy on a complete island, no help, no information in front of you. The receiver it's disappointing if they don't get separation a lot of times because of that. So, yeah, I think that being able to transfer that into the games, the receivers, it's important, and I don't know that they've consistently been able to do that yet. The running back room, still something that we're trying to settle here. Deuce Vaughn, specifically, is the biggest question, which I know earlier when we read John Machota's article talking about the 10 players that you should watch out here in this game, you felt like Deuce Vaughn was... We're kind of over the Deuce Vaughn fascination at this point.
I'm not over. I mean, I don't want to sound disrespectful. I'm a fan of Deuce Vaughn. I want it to work. I had a Tolo not happy with me, probably you set me up probably unfairly because Dean Julia tweeted, listening back, I think you were a little unfair to Deuce. How many regular season carries did he really get where it wasn't a blowout and the other team knew they were running the clock out? Might be more interesting this year if they give him early opportunities. Well, I'm assuming after that preseason, he did something to not get those regular season carries and work.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, so they wanted him to be involved. Like when we hear at the end of last season, Brian Schottenheimer approached him and said, let's start getting you some work with the receivers. Let's start having you run around the receivers. Let's find other things for you to do. When you are a running back that far back on the depth chart, you have to do other things. And the problem, I think, for them last year was they put him back there to be the backup punt returner, and he didn't show a lot of confidence in fielding punts. I think kickoffs have been a little different for him. That's something he did more consistently at Kansas State, but the punt returns were something where catching a punt backed up against the end zone, he seemed a little skittish about it. And I think because they couldn't justify having him involved in that part of the game, it was tough to justify having him active as well when they felt like, well, Malik Davis and Rico Dowdle and Tony Pollard, they give us all these different things that they're able to do. Hunter Lipke can block or run or we can do these different things. Deuce is not going to be able to pass protect because of his size. He's not going to be able to frequently run between the tackles, and he's not going to be able to contribute in the punt return game. And so I think that that ultimately is why he didn't get that kind of an opportunity. Now, I will say, I know,
like, ability-wise, is he definitely last in the running back room?
No, because I think he does.
Give me the straight up pure running back ability in order. Just talent
overall across everything, including pass protection and things.
No,
I would say, okay,
not pass
protection. Just running the ball.
Just
the
running the ball.
Okay, Dowdle, Zeke, Freeman, and then I might say Deuce over Malik Davis. But Malik Davis is just more well rounded, and Deuce. The thing with Deuce. The reason why I was so encouraged by the preseason game is he showed something in his ability to kind of keep his legs churning, pick up extra yardage. You don't want to feel like you left anything. The old line Joseph Randall gave about DeMarco Murray, you don't want to leave meat on the bone. There is nothing more frustrating than when they feel like, man, this was blocked up for you. It's so hard in today's modern NFL to justify running the ball a number of times and running the ball in certain situations, that when you leave yardage on the field, that makes it worse. Like, that makes it even tougher for us when we say, we give you this opportunity, it's not nearly as efficient in a lot of ways, and if you're not going to pick up every last bit of what we need, what are you doing for us?
By the way, listening to the Zeke segment to open KMC yesterday, holy crap, was that fascinating. Sharif, you're a hater. He's going to be top five in the league in rushing yards. I was stunned driving home. I had to stay 10-2. I had to keep both hands on the wheel with some of the cowboy homerism that is out there.
And I'm curious, is that, let us know on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney's text line right now. I'm curious about this because I know,
like, I had to take away Emmitt Smith's running back football card. Like, he's not allowed to talk about running backs anymore. And I have to do it with Tolos as well after I took it from Emmitt.
What is it that you think Zeke's going to do this year, if you're a listener right now?
Go ahead.
Text us your expectations. 877-881-1053. What kind of a player do you think he is right now, and what do you reasonably expect from him on the field this year?
And break it down for me like a scout. Like I had to do 3 or 4 years ago when I said, I'm not seeing... All right, I'll be broad as here. No elusiveness. No breakaway speed. I think his toughness works against him. Like, every year he's dinged up, and I think Zeke is a tough SOB out there, but he's always dinged up. Second level, it's not happening. We're not getting any second level elusiveness or making guys miss, not breakaway speed. The agility's not there. Goal line power, short yardage, I'm trusting him. So tell me why that scouting report is off.
No,
Tell me why a 40 or 50 yard run is happening. I think Corey Majors, listening Tolo, said one of those long runs or 100 yard game has not happened in 2 years, something like that. Not an outstanding receiver. It's just, I mean, it is what it is.
You're getting a lot more support right here. 469, he ain't doing nothing. 325, gonna have around 700 yards, maybe 6 touchdowns. 682, Zeke is gonna
706. I mean, I'd probably sign up for that.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's
true. Out of Zeke, not out of my number one spot.
He might be splitting that with you. like depending on what they end up doing. 817, Zeke will do nothing but score a couple touchdowns from 5 yards in. Good goal line work. That's about it. Third down back. What's ChatGPT thing? Yeah, I just had to ask ChatGPT. Give me Zeke's stats. They think you're dead wrong about Ezekiel Elliott. ChatGPT does.
What'd they say?
They say you got a couple factors to consider. The role in the offense. Zeke's likely to be a key factor with Tony Pollard being gone.
Oh, that's true.
Offensive line. Cowboys offensive line, while experienced, has some changes, including Tyler Guyton.
Wow.
Effectiveness of the line matters. Competition.
Dude, we should fire Broadus. ChatGPT knows it just as much as him.
If they're right about this is going to concern everybody. Rushing attempts. They project 250 to 280 for Zeke Elliott. Yards, 950 to 1150. 10 to 12 rushing touchdowns, 25 to 35 catches, 150 to 250 receiving yards, and 1 to 2 touchdowns. So, Sean, you're talking about you might get 1,400 scrimmage yards and 14 touchdowns out of Zeke Elliott if this is right. ChatGPT.
I like it, Poppy.
Below the belt here on your home of the Cowboys. Cowboys Chargers final preseason game tomorrow on this radio station. Final hour. I think my baby girl might be making an appearance. I might be breastfeeding out here in Sachse. So stop by for that. We got 1 hour to go. Stop by for the giveaways, the concert tickets, and the breakfast. And Peyton Russell, this football segment is for you. Let's get you ready for your fantasy drafts. Plus, Nick Eatman previews Cowboys Chargers final hour right after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.